Brian Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Casey Johnson. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Casey, of course, doing a great job. And he's going to help us steer through whatever is going on with the Chicago Bulls. Morning, Casey. How are you, buddy?
What's going on? Good morning, guys.
Well, you know, I like the idea that they're saving Lonzo for the home game. I think that's a nice thing for the fans. It might be nice for him. The crowd seemed very energized and gave him a standing O when he made his preseason appearance. I think it'll be good for him and hopefully for the Bulls to get him against Oklahoma City on Saturday.
Yeah, and as a quick aside of that, we were talking to Lonzo the other night in New Orleans. I mean, he's chill about all this, so he doesn't really care. But I thought it was a little odd that not only did he not get acknowledged when he checked into that game by the public address announcer, but the fans didn't really seem to notice much. And that makes it even odder, given that he spent two productive seasons there. Yeah. I just thought it was such a big moment for the NBA. I thought New Orleans kind of missed an opportunity there. And, you know, we were joking with Lonzo about it afterwards. Like I said, he's kind of over all this. He's just focused on staying healthy and playing basketball. But it was certainly something to note that we talked to him about.
It seemed as nonchalant as he comes across sometimes. Just a very much in stride with everything else that's going on. So, Casey, obviously you were at that game in the opener. It was disappointing with 21 turnovers and the way that the Bulls threw that one away. I just wonder, it's only one game. It is the opener. Was it a big step back? How would you evaluate what exactly that meant in terms of the start to this season?
I mean, again, one game caveat. But, you know, what I saw is, you know, this is a team that is trying to play a completely different style. And that commitment to that style was there. Obviously, the execution was not there. But I believe, you know, I haven't checked last night's games, I believe it was like the fastest-paced game of the opening games. And, you know, this is a team that played at a very slow pace the last few seasons, you know, since Lonzo went down. So that's what I was asking, you know, Josh Giddey, Lonzo in the postgame locker room about, you know, like, did you see like that same commitment to style there? And they all said they did. They obviously know they need to execute better. So, you know, defensively, I think, you know, you can take a snapshot of that first play and that breakdown and that opening dunk to Daniel Tice. And I mean, Billy's been detailing his concerns about defensive concerns since he went on the preseason with you guys. So I think that's going to be a storyline all season. But I didn't see it as a massive step back just in terms of how they achieve what they want to do stylistically on the offensive end. They just need to obviously execute better.
Will the rotation tighten up? I mean, he used, I think, 11 players in the game. Because they're moving so fast and because Lonzo is in one game out the next, is he the 10th guy? Will there be kind of a nine-man rotation eventually? And how does that fit together?
Yeah, it'll be fluid. I was surprised he played 11. I mean, I predicted a 10-man rotation and, you know, I had Bouzelis in there, and then when he wasn't one of the 10, I was like, okay, I'm wrong. But then he came in, he was the 11th. So, I think it'll be probably back down to 10 tonight with Bouzelis in for Ball. But, you know, you never know. And, look, Billy, most coaches would prefer to have a nine-man rotation. But Billy has talked to you guys and us about, you know, stylistically the way they want to play. Best condition team, playing faster, shorter stints, getting up and down, lots of possessions. And given the number of players they need to develop, I can see him sticking to a 10-man rotation for the majority of the season. So, you know, the season is as much about development as anything else. We have to always remember that. And the more guys you play, the more minutes you get out there for some of these young guys, the better for the future. May be some short-term pain, and I think, you know, with the expectations surrounding this team, I think those are going to be real. But that's kind of the overall and overarching philosophy.
So when you talked to Bouzelis, how nervous did he say that he was? Let's hope it was a lot, because that wasn't very impressive.
Boy, that first three, yikes.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes in the sense that it was, you know, 7 feet long and an egregious air ball. No, in the sense that he fired and took the right shot. I mean, some guys would shrink in that moment. So I always look at, like, are you taking the right shots? Make or miss league, you put that to the side. Obviously, you want to make more than you miss. But, you know, that's less what coaches are focused on than are you taking the right shot? Because you pass up an open shot, I can't tell you how many times it leads to a guy having to force a shot at the end of the shot clock. And
right.
He took the right shot. So, look, he's always said, I'm just focused on getting better the next game. He's got a short memory. You know, obviously had the high-profile minutes against Giannis in the preseason. I don't know if they'll throw him out there against him tonight. But I certainly know if they do, he'll at least be ready and willing for the challenge, because that's kind of this kid's mentality.
It's a really good point. I remember Jordan saying back in the day that he always remembered who threw him the ball as the shot clock was expiring. Like, he was always well aware of when somebody was like, you try it, and just gave it, that he'd have to take a shot he might not have preferred, but he'd hit half of them.
Yeah, no, that's what coaches focus on. Are you taking the right shots? And, you know, I don't remember I remember two of the three. I don't remember the third shot off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the box score or the running. But, you know, two of the three shots were right in rhythm, right on time, the right shots. And that's what you're looking for, especially from a young player.
I think you can accept that because he's a rookie and all those things about development are true, KC. But I wonder, as we go kind of down the roster of guys who we only are evaluating after one game, Coby White had to be as disappointed as anybody because of what the expectations are for him this year and because of how that game went for him.
Yeah, he was involved in that defensive game plan breakdown on that opening play that I mentioned, that where the Tice dunk to start the game. Offensively, you know, obviously didn't shoot it well. I think he went 0-for-5 from 3. What I did tweet, and, you know, what speaks to his kind of growth as a player, is he recognized this three ball wasn't falling. He didn't take a three after that. He kept attacking the rim, and he started to have some success getting to the rim. Where he was most upset and where the coaches were most upset was he was one of the bigger offenders for the, you know, one-legged, Billy called him the one-legged jumping in the air and not knowing where you're going to go with the ball. I mean, he drove in several times and just jumped near the basket and twisted and looked for a player and more often than not committed a turnover. He had 4, Zach had 7. So, yeah, I mean, Coby's a straight shooter. He knows when he didn't play. I didn't talk to Coby post-game, but you don't need to talk to a guy like that. He knows that he didn't play well and obviously looking for a bounce-back game tonight.
So we mentioned that that they didn't seem to notice Lonzo down in New Orleans. They did notice Josh Giddey. Is he a proper villain? I don't think I knew that he was a proper villain. They booed him.
Yeah, so I watched League Pass. I was a big Thunder League Pass guy last year, so I was kind of aware of this dynamic. You know, I'm told it stems sometimes – it's mostly Western Conference-based. I mean, I'm generalizing here because I'm new to this story, but it's mostly Western Conference-based, partly rooted in him and the Thunder torching opponents and partly rooted, quite frankly, in his legal or his off-the-court issues, which, you know, never went to a – never progressed to a legal status, both the police, the local police department out there and the NBA opened investigations and cleared him of any wrongdoing. So, you know, Josh was very forthright in our questions about it. He said he was actually having to explain it to some teammates because he said it probably is going to happen elsewhere. It didn't happen much in the preseason, so I think that's why it caught everybody off guard. And like I said, I'll be curious tonight if in the Eastern Conference arena it happens as much as it did. You also have to remember the Thunder eliminated the Pelicans last year. So I don't know, you know, I didn't go around interviewing the fans, but it certainly was notable and something we asked Josh about post game. And, you know, he took the high road. He's very good with the media, but I mean, how can you not notice that? How could it not get to you at some point?
Does seem very good with the media, KC. He's very young, but seems very polished. But at some level, do you think, how much does this bother him and how much will it continue maybe to follow him?
I think, you know, he kept saying it is what it is. I mean, yeah, I don't know the guy well enough to go into his psyche, so I'm not gonna go there. What I would say is, when it's that loud and I'm that consistent, I mean, we're all human beings at the end of the day, right? So I would speculate that it's, whether it's annoying or aggravating or angering, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to project any of those feelings on him again because I don't know him well enough. What I would say is, just as a human being, I would think that one of those three elements would creep into play at some point. But, you know, we'll see if it's as season long as it was last year with the Thunder, because, you know, it was something that was noted for the Thunder last year as well, and is new to the Bulls land.
I am very curious to see that game. In fact, I would say I'm more curious to see how he plays against that team than how he does against the Bucks. I mean, I want him to do well. I'd love it if he could learn to score a little bit. He doesn't seem like a great shooter, but I must say that is a very interesting dynamic to play against a championship caliber team that got rid of you. It's just a really interesting dynamic. I hope he's very confident against them.
Yeah, several, and not only that, but then the return of Alex Caruso. You know, my junior in high school had some homework to do last night, and my wife was yelling at him, and I'm like, he's got to see Alex Caruso check in. It was hilarious. we were locked into that game. And man, Caruso, I watched like the first three possessions he was on defense. The dude like runs like 5 miles every possession. It's incredible. But I digress. Look, the thing you got to remember about Josh is, you know, they didn't give up on him. He asked to be traded. Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. When they talked about potentially bringing him off the bench or a diminished role or a different role for him because of the emergence of SGA.
Yes.
He and his representative, you know, said, hey, can we work to try to find a different situation here? And Sam Presti has been very open about that. Josh Giddey's been very open about that. So I think Josh is, you know, obviously has fond feelings for Oklahoma City, speaks very highly of that organization, but there's no ill will there. And then Caruso is such a veteran. He'll know it's part of the business. And look, he's in a fantastic situation. That team looked dynamite last night in Denver.
They're very good. So, and don't they have the next 50 draft picks in order?
Something like that.
Incredible.
So, KC, you look at the Bulls the other night, and there were a couple times on the broadcast that Stacey King alluded to a loose ball being there and the Bulls not diving for it. And 50-50 balls became 80-20 in favor of the Pelicans.
Wow.
And I just wonder, as you watched the game, it is only one game, but you don't want to see effort issues cropping up any time, especially in the opener.
Well, and especially if you're playing, as we keep talking about, you know, 10, 11 guys, shorter stints, you know, what Billy's kind of overall mantra is, go in there, play really hard, we'll get you out. I mean, these are going to be shorter stints. You know, last year you had guys like DeRozan and Levine that would sometimes play a full quarter. That's not happening anymore. So, to that point, absolutely it's an issue. And it's something not only did Stacey talk about on our airwaves, Chicago Sports Network, but also Billy Donovan pointed out immediately in the post-game comments. So, yes, it is an issue. I don't care if it's one game. It is an issue, and it should be an issue. You can't – if you're a young, developing, hungry team, you cannot lose 50-50 balls at the rate they did the other night, especially when you're going to be – you know, challenged defensively all season. You've got to generate every potential possession you possibly can, and a lot of those come from 50-50 balls.
Have they explained to Patrick Williams that the season has begun? See, that was just mean.
That's mean.
That
was mean,
mean,
Mully.
That was mean.
That's a shot.
I'm hanging up this phone and driving to Milwaukee for shoot around, and I'll pass that along to Mully. straight from Mully.
You
okay?
Tell him that the season's begun. He's a traditionally slow starter, but he kind of started slow.
I'd say three things about that. You know, all the attention on Lonzo, and rightfully so, but, you know, I made this point in the broadcast. That was Zach LaVine's first game since January 18th. That was Patrick Williams' first game since January 25th. There are comebacks for these guys, too. Number two, I have question marks following his preseason performance and the opening game as well. I'd like to see more from him. And number three, and clearly a storyline that we focused in on post game. I mean, Billy closed with Io DeSumo over the $90 million man and your best defender. So, you know, Billy explained it that we were behind, Bulls were behind, needed driving kicks for more three-pointers. So there might be logic to it, but played 26 minutes and is on the bench in crunch time. And as one of the premier development projects on the roster, that was notable. So certainly a storyline to monitor tonight, and we'll be all over it, as usual.
So Zach LaVine looked like an all-star in the first half, 19 points, and he was feeling it. And the turnovers got in the way, maybe put a damper on the fact that he was very good and looked like the guy that we have seen for most of his Bulls career. What's the biggest takeaway for him? And did he have... He didn't seem tentative, Casey, for a guy who hadn't played since January. He obviously had some preseason time to kind of feel that and where his limits would be, but he looked like he just picked up where he left off.
Well, he's healthy. You know, everyone can say what they want about last season. He wasn't healthy. He played 20 games on a broken foot or had a broken bone in his foot and, you know, was playing through that. I would say that was largely why he was as below the rim player as he was last season. He looked like the elite efficient scorer that we'd seen the previous 2.5 seasons before the second half. I mean, turnovers certainly plagued that second half. And I know that Billy has talked multiple times about putting him in more catch-and-shoot situations where he is elite, and then you're taking decision-making probably more off his plate because – you know, unfortunately, Zach kind of regressed in the opening game in that area with 7 turnovers. And he also was one of those ones who would sometimes drive without a plan and it would lead to a turnover. So, one game, obviously the best scorer on the team, one of the best scorers in the league, and needs to shore up his decision making and his defense. And another opportunity tonight against the Bucks.
I thought the bounce in his game was back. You know, I mean, just physically,
totally.
he seemed so much healthier. And then there was a sequence where I think it was his fifth three in the first half where he stepped back and hit like a Steph Curry three. It was like, wow. And then, you know, he's feeling it. He gets the ball and then he comes down into the lane. And next thing you know, the ball is just like almost going to hit the ceiling of the building. Like, what happened there? Like, it was exactly what you're saying, kind of just a weird decision and not hanging on to the ball and a bad turnover. But you couldn't help but follow that sequence where he basically got him in the game at the end of the first half.
And he makes it look so effortless when he's on one of those runs that he was. Like you said, that one step back three that was so deep. It was just so – yeah. So that's kind of the appeal and allure of Zach. And then – you know, sometimes the decision-making brings you back down to earth. And it's something I know he's focused on and upset about because he wants to be known as a winning two-way player. I always point to now it's getting a little bit more in the rearview mirror, but I always talk about his role on the Olympic team and how he bought into that and took a secondary role and made kind of the winning plays. I think he can be a winning basketball player, but you need to see more evidence of that from the decision-making standpoint.
Quickly, KC, Vooch, you couldn't help but notice all of the marks from him cupping. What was that all about, and is he okay?
He looked like he mouthed off to me.
He did.
What?
Yeah. I saw it in the postgame locker room. I haven't had a chance to ask him about it, okay. So I don't want to speculate. But I saw it, too, and he was in very good spirits at the shoot-around, had a good game. It was his birthday yesterday. I think Vooch is doing just fine.
21-11 every
night. Feed him the ball. All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Safe travels.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks, man. See ya.